fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. I want to continue today to talk about Jesus' call to each one of us to become his disciple. I began with reading yesterday Luke's Gospel, where Jesus says this, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." I was just thinking this morning, here we are on the election today, right? Everybody's going out to vote today, and I hope you take responsibility as a citizen to go out and to cast your vote. And it's worth thinking about as you enter the ballot box today, remembering who you are and what's most important, your disciple. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, St. Paul tells us, we are no longer conformed to this world, but we live according now to a renewed mind. What's a renewed mind? A disciple is someone whose mind has been touched by grace. That is, by the mercy of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of faith, hope, and love, we have come to see and understand Jesus. And in seeing Jesus, we see the truth. We see the truth about what it means to be human, why we're here, where we've come from. We understand goodness when we see Christ. We understand that the very meaning of every human's life, whether they understand it or not, is to be in right relationship with God, is to receive God's love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. So Jesus came to put us in relationship with the Father, to reveal the Father, so we can see God the Father. And in seeing God the Father, through the grace Christ gives us, we see that we're children of God. That's the fundamental purpose for which we were made. And this is what the church helps each and every one of us come to understand, to restore us to a relationship with God and to live a life in our decisions, what we do that corresponds to that fundamental relationship. A disciple is someone who's been set free from the power of the world, the flesh, and the devil, these powers that drag us and push us into a conformity to the patterns of this world rather than conformity to the kingdom of God. Today's a great day to remember, especially before you go to the ballot box, who you are in Christ. Jesus said, if you want to come after me, if you want to follow me, deny yourself. Take up daily and follow me. For the one who would save his life will lose it. The one who loses his life for my sake will save it. What does it mean to lose your life for Christ's sake? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, St. Paul said, Jesus died that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and rose again. When I become a disciple of Jesus, I'm making a decision. I don't want to live according to my priorities anymore. I don't want to be driven by my passions, by my fears, by my lusts, by my desires. I want now to have a new set of priorities in my life. I want Jesus's priorities for my life. So Paul made it very clear, and the apostles got this into their mind and heart. They said very clearly, he died that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him. Here's Galatians 2. The life I now live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. 2 Corinthians 5:9, we make it our aim now to please the Lord. That's the heart of a disciple. I mentioned yesterday St. Francis' prayer that he often prayed, simple prayer, asking God the question, God, who are you and who am I? We don't come to God on our own terms. Like you see the poverty, the beautiful poverty of St. Francis. He comes to God with empty hands. He empties himself. He said, God, you're God and I'm not. Who are you and who am I? You tell me who I am, Lord. For that is the reversal of the ego and the pride that dominates the world. And can us, even in our relationship with God, we come to God on our terms, looking for God to affirm our plans, our preferences, our identity, our desires, what we want, how we want to define our life here on earth. The saints do just the opposite, because they understand the foolishness that's in the flesh. how easy it is to be deceived. So Jesus says, deny that thing in you that insists on your own way and holds back from me. Jesus wants us to entrust our life to him, and he'll lead us. So deny yourself and take up your cross daily. So what's the cross? The cross is really doing the will of God, no matter what it costs. That's where we express love for God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's how heaven measures love and understands love. It's not just a feeling. It's not just a sentiment. But the question is, you say, I love God. The fundamental thing Jesus wants us to ask is, well, are you keeping the commandments? God's commandments. God's commandments, which are meant for good. To lead us to freedom, to honor God, and to help us live in accord with how we were made, according to God's purpose and plan. Today, you're going to enter the ballot box. I'm going to go back to the election today. I was just thinking of it, just praying this morning. This is an important time for our country. It's important for Christians to be free when you enter that ballot box, free to do the will of God, to vote with an informed conscience, to be clear what's at stake, to keep the eternal perspective in hand, to ask the question, what would Jesus do in this situation? Who do these people represent? What are they trying to bring into the world? What have they brought into the world to this point? What are they proposing to do as we move ahead? Does it really in some way acknowledge the truth about God's creation and God's will and God's purpose for humanity? Or is it looking to carve out a life in a way that's still very much dominated by the futility of the flesh, ego, power, control? St. Francis wrote a letter once to the rulers of the people, he called it, to the politicians, you might say, of his day. I've read this a number of times over the last number of years, and I put it in a little booklet called St. Francis Used Words that you could find on our website at renewalministries.net. Here's the letter this loving saint wrote to politicians. And the politicians who might be listening today, you might have stumbled on my program this morning. As you make your way to the ballot box, and as you, those of you who are following particular politicians, listen to the words of Francis. He says, to all magistrates and councils and judges and governors and whatever part of the world, and to all others to whom this letter may come, Brother Francis, your little and contemptible servant wishes health and peace to you. Consider and see that the day of death draws near. I ask you, therefore, with such reverence as I can, not to forget the Lord on account of the cares and the solicitudes of this world, and not to turn aside from his commandments. For all those who forget him and decline from his commandments are cursed, and they shall be forgotten by him. And when the day of death comes, all that which they think they have shall be taken away from them. And the wiser and the more powerful they may have been in this world, so much the greater torments shall they endure in hell. The saints were so alive to God because they were following Christ, who led them into an eternal perspective. They found in Jesus the truth about what this world is all about and what really matters and really the standard of measurement that every single human being made for God, made to live for the glory of God, made to walk in the truth and the goodness and the beauty, which is God himself, every single person will be judged in relationship to whether or not we've said yes each day to the challenges that confront us and the yes to God's will and purpose in that moment each day. Friends, the world is dominated by fear and anxiety. Politicians promise things they can't deliver. There's spiritual conflict going on in this world. There's spiritual battle unfolding in this world today, and it is really intense. And the only way to go through it, and the only way to be a light, the only way to help the country, the only way to help you and your family, is to deny yourself and take up your cross today. Lord, what's your will? Are these candidates, whose platforms, whose life is more in conformity with your will and your purpose? Are any of these candidates today that I could potentially vote for, are they promoting? Do I know for sure that they're going to promote something that is intrinsically evil? that gravely offends God. One of the things I try to keep in mind is to say, I do not want to cast a vote for someone who I know is going to use their power, their influence, to push forward and to promote in the lives of as many people as they can here and abroad something which will deeply and profoundly offend God. God doesn't play by the same rules that the world plays by. He's not impressed with the pressures of this world and what our priorities are. Everyone who bears his name is called to put him first, to live by the truth that will set us free. Whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Each day we're given opportunities. Lord, how can I lose my life today? What does that mean? How can I step out of my ego, my pride, my lusts, my desires, the temptation to put myself first? Or even today, in the ballot box, to secure for myself what I think is going to be best for me. Lord, how can I make a statement today that acknowledges your presence, that acknowledges that this world belongs to you, that acknowledges that every single human being on this earth belongs to you, was made by you and made for you? Each one of us, whether we know it or not, belong to you. And the way I live today, may my life, may my vote reflect the knowledge that you are God, that you are holy, that every word, that every deed, every word we speak, every deed we do in this world, you make so clear, we will give an account for. Does my vote today hallow the name of God? Remember the prayer Jesus taught each one of us, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. To hallow the name of God is to honor God. To honor God is to obey him. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. The kingdom of God has come in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus has brought the rule and the reign of God to the earth. And the world rages against the kingdom of God. As you vote today, pray. Surrender your heart to God. Think like a disciple. And vote like a disciple who understands what's at stake and the eternal value of every single human life and the reality that each one of us will stand before the judgment seat of God. God bless you, friend. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbig, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.